Namaste and welcome to the Living India podcast by Purvi Shah Paulini. On business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well. Because knowing people means knowing business. Welcome back to our wisdom workshop. Hello, Julia.
Hi, Purvi.
And today in chapter 7, we are going to speak about our consciousness and development of our consciousness. And I would like to start with a quote again, a very short quote by Arthur Schopenhauer, which says, "Everyone lives in a different world in the same environment." So the question which is, let's say, bothering me or keeping me busy is that how can it be that the development of humans from a baby to an adult goes through so many stages, from just being a small, needy person with then the ability to think in complex ways and find solution on complex questions? How can it be that your own brother or sister who were raised by the same parents have total different worldviews? And the same is with the colleagues. Very often people just look at me and say, "I don't understand. We work for the same company and we're sitting next to each other, but this person thinks so differently to that what I do." So what does consciousness also have to do with development? I mean, for today's leadership in teams, but also in politics and economics. And what kind of leader do we need to implement the so badly needed change, or let's call it paradigm shift, that is connected to the value system? So there are so many questions, and which we are hopefully trying to cover in today's chapter. So what do you think about that, Julia?
Well, again, this is a very, very complex question. And I always say that we come on this world when we are born with a rucksack, with a backpack full of stories of our ancestors, of our parents, of our grandparents, all the value systems, all the mindsets, all the experiences of the people who have lived before us. We have in our genes, right? In our DNA, in our gene material. So we come on this world and we have very, very much within us already, but we need to sort of first be able to survive on this world as a baby, to be a human being that can then develop oneself. And all the things we bring with us might maybe not be feasible yet, but they start making sense the moment we are developing as human beings on this world. So I think that this is really, really an interesting question. Who develops how, in what experience or stage of their life? So I think whatever we bring with us and however our environment is, even if we are brother and sister, but one is a year older and the other one is a year younger, and the parents, the whole family system changes along the way. So when I was 5, I had a different life than my brother when he was 5. And at the same time, my parents thought we all had the same upbringing, but no, we didn't. Because so when he was 5, they've been just a different couple from when I was 5, and the whole environment was different. So I think no one lives the same story and no one has the same rucksack of stories which we bring. So, and yes, we are on the same world and still we all live different lives. We all have different stories.
If I compare that with my family and my brother, I totally agree with you. Always very, very often it comes without saying it in a bad way, but that they always say, "Have you been raised by the same parents? You are so different." I always have to laugh. I said, yes. Well, as you say, we have our different stories and the way we take certain things are totally different. And at the later age, how you deal with that, whatever has happened in a positive or negative way in your childhood, how you take it along, even if your consciousness has a different stage And the stages are not to be considered as a better or worse stage. Stages are stages without any judgment in that. But still, as we said, we hopefully think differently in the age of, I'm 45 now, than I was 5, of course. And I'm quite happy about that, to think differently and hopefully to think in a complex way. But dealing with the past, as you also say, is a very big issue and has a very big impact on that. Who you want to become in future, and to see, are you happy with you yourself right now or not? And what impact does it have on your family, on yourself? How well are you connected to yourself and not? When do you ask, which stage of consciousness do you ask yourself, am I connected? Do I need to be connected to myself? I think this is also a process which is ongoing and will never end.
I would like to add here that it's also about the responsibility for ourselves. So if we take over the responsibility for who we are, and then we are not blaming anymore the stories of the past, we are not blaming our parents. The parents are searching for their mistakes in upbringing, or the society is looking for the mistakes and what has gone wrong. But if we look at ourselves and we are all responsible for our own way we live, then there is no one to blame. It's only us developing and taking the steps and taking any step, you know, also a step back, a step to the side. So everything that comes, when we look at it carefully, we can see that this is just, you know, as we said, a learning for ourselves. And development is not up on the people around us. It's upon ourselves.
That is true. And when you say that, it's also, I mean, raising up a child, both of us know that quite well, is one of, for me, one of the toughest things I have ever faced in my life. I always thought that other things were more difficult, whatever story you have in life, but raising up a child is not easy. And though I'm quite sure that I do the best out of my knowledge and what my value system is today, I'm quite sure that my child may come later and say, Mom, you didn't do this and that correctly. And I always say, I did that from what I thought is right and wrong, whatever is right and wrong, the best where I thought it would be for you. And that also shows me that putting yourselves into the shoes of somebody else is also not that easy. And for me, it is also more than empathy. Now, going away from your own child, to put yourself into the shoes of your child and try to feel what it feels to give a proper answer. Now, I'm going a little bit beyond that and also saying that, what does it mean to be somebody else? And to put yourself into the shoes of someone else's consciousness, yeah? How do these persons have reached this worldview? And what can I do in order to understand this? What is it like to be a racist, for example? What is it like to be Donald Trump? What is it like to be Angela Merkel as a political leader? What is it like to be the CEO of a huge corporate? Or what is it like to be a CEO of a small and medium-sized enterprise? I think this, because you were also saying blaming, judging, it is always from our value system that we say they are doing it wrong or they are doing it right, but they also have their value system, and to have an understanding for that.
I just want to question that, what do you say about the value system? Because you talk about, I have my value system, they have their value system. So talking about a value system, there are these people sometimes have methods to put the value systems in a model or something. But isn't every value system in all of us? And is it only just the way we cope with things that we choose in which value system we are today, and we can be in another tomorrow or just an hour later? So it seems to me that this is like, for you, a steady state being in one value system. I want to know more about your thoughts on that.
That's a very good question. And I always say everything is already there. There's nothing we have to detect new. But I think the evolution has shown that we are going through, and I always say models are there to give an explanation to certain things. To we are people who love, or humans love to, or need categorization. Where I also always say, be careful with the categorization, otherwise you'll become very dogmatic. But it's just a tool that helps you to understand others or the systems you live in. Or as I say, a balanced scorecard is also just a model to understand certain systems within your company, but it's just a model. And there are many other models that can be also taken as well as a balanced scorecard. And the same thing is, for example, the development of consciousness. And people are, I think, since ages busy with that and taking care of this topic. And there are wonderful models which have been established. And yes, in everyone, everything is there. But till you grab it, until you get there, if there is anywhere to get, it's sometimes difficult to express that, because the moment you say you grab something, you exclude other things. There are so many things to detect. And I agree that it depends on your history, on that, how you take certain things, how the coping with problems and seeing the solutions behind that. And it's, if we talk about value system, is just one line within us. We have so many voices in us. We have the cognition, we have the value, we have our moral stage, we have so many different other points that influence us and that make us the way we are today. And tomorrow we might be totally different.
So can we, do you want to go more profound in one of these models, or?
Yes, it would be very helpful, because I know that you once wrote an article on how, for example, Gaia develop, and I would like to share that, and I would love you to share that with us, how you think about that.
Oh, this is an article I once wrote about I was really concerned about the way we use models in order to explain things, because I sometimes think then that we lose ourselves in a model which is there, you know, and that we then can sort of judge others because of the model they're in. And this special model I talked about divides the stages of development, of consciousness development, in colors. So I looked up on Gaia, our planet, Mother Earth, and I looked on the colors which we have on our planet. And I found out that we have all the colors also, of course, all the colors there are, that also are described in the model. And then I looked at it closer. And so, as example, the first color is beige. And the beige stands for survival and instinct. And I looked, what on the planet is beige? And it's, of course, all the rocks and the soil. And this is like brownish and beige. And so this is also what I did with all the other colors, with purple, with red, with blue, with green, with orange. We can explain them later, with yellow. So they are all there. And then I also gave them sort of a little affirmation, maybe, as you can say, like everything has an affirmation, and beige stands for survival. So life is survival, I said. And purple stands for rituals and community. And I said, life is a sacrifice. And red stands for ego, for power. And it's, life is a battle. And blue deals with more, you know, like rules and frames. And I said, life is a test. And if you go to orange, then there's a lot of competition and stuff going on. And I say, life is a game. And if you go to green, I then speak about, life is a system. And now that we go beyond green, I call, life is beautiful. So if we put it all together, then life is all of that. We have all these colors on this place called Earth. We have these colors in this model. And if we all have all these colors within us, it depends on the context we are on the tools we need right now in this context, and we can all get there, as you say, the moment we need them, we find them. So then life can be anything. It can be a battle. It can be a system. It can be a game. It can be beautiful. And I think we choose what it is for us.
That is very true. And just the base of mix is the Graves value model, which was created by Graves, Claire Graves. And you wonderfully explained that. And the wonderful thing of this model is that it can be used for anything and everything in medicine, in business, in explaining the earth. That's where you use it. And it is very helpful to get an idea why people are the way they are. And whoever is wherever, everything is correct. And it is the way it is to be. And integrating everything, and that's the color yellow, what you were describing, is that it accepts that all the worldviews which you have explained in the different colors are right, but only partially. And if we really understand that everyone is right, but only in a partial and not the worldview is the correct one, I think we would be able to change many things. But therefore, of course, if we take this over to leadership, for example, we need people who are understanding that to integrate all worldviews in their businesses. So we need the people who do the 9-to-5 job, which is declared as blue, for example, but we also need the orange people who are ready to have to think about new products. The innovation is very important, who are ready to go into sales and sell the product. And you need a leader who has the positive part of the red power you need to go ahead. And of course, the green level that also includes the planet. That is very important. Yeah. So including all these levels and saying everyone is correct and leave the people where they are and make the best out of it and use that.
So because I'm a therapist and I'm working with children at the moment, there are many parents who treat their children as grown-ups. So they think that their children are already in the same value system as they are, and they ask the children for being that, and at the other, in other moments, children, they are treated as children. So children, sometimes I have the feeling, are not allowed to go through their stages of development very clearly. So what happens, in my opinion, is that some of them are not allowed to live through their stages as they would want to, and then I think there happen imbalances in these value systems, and this might have influence on them as future grown-ups. So I wonder if there is something like healthy stages, not healthy, or yeah, if we can think about how can we balance everything we have, as you say, in a good way, because we would need any value system. We would need any strength of any value system, because every value system has something to offer for this world that we can create a beautiful survival for all. But if we let them not live it out, this can also create imbalances. And yeah,
I think it is very important to understand that looking at the stages, for example, with the Graves value model, it is not about to reach the next stage as fast as possible. This is not because it happens. Yeah, it happens to change. And I always say, if especially in my seminars, I explain those stages and they say, oh, what do we have to do in order to get the Indian colleagues to orange, for example, if this is the topics to get. I said, you cannot get anyone to anywhere. It's first of all to understand where you are right now and what do you need them, which language do you have to speak in order to reach them. This is the first thing you have to learn. And then whenever you are able to understand what mindset they have, and what exactly they need, you can be maybe a kind of role model to say, oh, if we talk about effectiveness, that's especially the typical orange thing, is that, okay, the working style is not effective. Show them what is different in your world to their world? And without judging that what they are doing is bad, just see it as a very neutral part. And I think this is the same thing with the children, because, for example, there is a statistic, for example, saying that I think 75% of the Western world is somewhere between orange, late orange, or whatever. Let's just assume that would be correct. Yeah, that would automatically mean, because you cannot skip any stage, that you have gone through, of course, the beige, the red, the purple, the red, the blue, and so on, the previous stages. So you just have to recall yourself, what does it mean? How was I during that time? So going back to raising up children, it's exactly the same. We have to learn, I think, to be children again, to get an idea what it means to think like a child. Because I think we as adults claim always that we are a complex thinker, but we make things too complicated. And I think we mix up complication with complexity, because I believe that a child is already a complex thinker, but they don't make a fuss out of it. They just do it without thinking too much. And this is something which we can learn from the children, and then putting ourselves into the shoes of the children. I'm trying to do that, but it's not always easy, because sometimes it's really not easy to understand a 7-year-old boy why he thinks in that moment like that. And I really make a visible step and say, okay, now I'm my son, and try to get into the energy that he has right now, to get an understanding and to find a language which he understands, and approach him.
And this is, by the way, very difficult to put yourself into the shoes of others, I think. Needs a little bit of a preparation of putting ourselves in the shoes of ourselves first. So this is what I learn also in the therapy, and I'm also training others to become body whisperers. And then they say, I see something there, and I perceive something here, and I. But first, if we really want to perceive and see the other, we need to see ourselves, because everything which is us. Is not the other. And sometimes we perceive a fear, or we perceive something which is not in this other person, which is in our person. And sometimes we even perceive something which we believe is not ours, then we think it must be his or hers, but it isn't, because maybe this is just something that is around us as well, some energy. So I think putting ourselves in the shoes of others is not possible at all. And we cannot do it. We cannot go as leader into the organization and say, this team member, we can hear how he talks, we see how he moves, we know his actions, and then we put ourselves in his shoes or in her shoes, and then we sort of believe to know what we have to say to this person in order to make this person compliant or whatever. And this is not it. I think this is just giving us too much hubris again, and allowing us to be too much in charge and responsibility of all of it, instead of letting things happen again. So I think it is really, really, really important to understand that we know nothing, that everybody has their own stories, and that all we can do is encourage the others to communicate with us in such a way that the process in which we are together creates the next step. Exactly. In, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But what kind of knowledge, or I don't have a better word for that, because we don't need knowledge, what you are saying, but it needs a kind of maturity to do that. Let's call it maturity. And to a certain extent, I agree that we cannot put ourselves. And I also wanted to add that I'm also just a human, and we also fight very often, because there is definitely no understanding for each other. It's me for my son, not the other. I don't expect him to understand me. I think so. But of course, we do fight, then unconsciously, I do expect that, of course. But what other method would you suggest? that if the person is matured enough, or even for those whoever declares that somebody is matured or not matured, when is it then the correct action? Then
would
it be correct?
I think it's again about which we have said before, talked about before, letting go. The moment we give birth, we let go. And yeah, of course, in the beginning, these children depend on us because we need to feed them and support them. But the moment we believe that our mindset and what we think is right needs to be put on the child in terms of education, we are already giving the child something which we believe is good. So everything we can do is live our lives, as you say, the way we think it is good for us. And the children can watch, you know, they can watch us and then they find theirs within us. But not if we say, do this because this might happen if you don't do it or whatever. So teaching children, teaching other people is not about telling them what is right or what is wrong. It's about living a fruitful life, living a life with love, with respect, with acceptance, with trust, and then letting them find their way by themselves. Because I believe that these stages of development, yes, we go through, but we all go through by ourselves the best. And we have created a world in which nobody can live through their own stage of development just by themselves.
Now we have to mention also, or I would like to mention, that we have considered now only the individual, and we all are raised in systems, of course, where all these rules, which you are a little bit criticizing right now, which is correct also, have been established in a collective, in the way like communities have developed. And at the end, you are asking also to question all these systems that we have established. And I remember, now it comes, that interview we had with Nicole just recently, where she was talking about when you come to the Western world, what is the difference? She lives in Africa right now, in the national park, and observes the animals. And she says that we have everything covered with concrete, and we try to organize everything. We try to control everything. We try to clean up everything, but actually the nature has given everything, and we are trying to avoid the connection by building roads, by cleaning up the roads. I think this is also something which is very much related to that, though many people would think, what is she right now connecting? But I have the feeling that this is also the connection to that. And we all have categories of what is good and what is evil, what you were right now mentioning. And it has justified actually the wars in the past by defining that, what is correct and what is not correct, what is bad and what is good. So I think also what you are trying to say is, the question is, do we have to fight harder? Or if you say let it go, means just let it be. The question is also, how can we let go in the Western world where tribals are still living that, you know, it's tribal societies, ancient societies which still exist in the world. How can we do that?
That's a nice question. You talked about Nicole, and I just want to follow up on this, because she looked at lions and at other animals who live together, and everybody has their role, and they all go and do their role during the day. The one is hunting, the one is supporting the tribe or whatever, you know. Everybody has their role, and nobody questions their role, and it's like intuitive. They have it in an intuitive way. And this intuition is something which has been lost in us human beings, maybe. And this trust in that everything we do, if we can just do it, and if we can just be who we are, we do in a very ethical and moral way, because it's about the survival of all. I mean, and in the moment we think about this, I think we will just naturally, intuitively, live a balanced life without needing all these rules we have created. And the ones who are not joining in this process of being intuitively balanced and just being, they of course might say, okay, wow, if there is a whole cake and everybody takes a piece because they are ethically, morally, intuitively good, but I'm very hungry, I'm eating the whole cake. Yes, of course. Then there might, this might create a conflict, a war, and this might create someone who says, now we need to put rules up on this guy because he can only take one piece of the cake. So, and then maybe this game starts again. But in animals, this is like not happening. It's our minds.
Exactly. You can say actually that people say that the humans are the most developed species in the world, but the question is also how much of this development or this potential we have are we really using and making the best out of it and not being too egoistic. There are certain things where I don't 100% agree with you, but to 95% I do, because it's a little bit tricky with the systems we live in. And the other thing is also that we're talking about stages which would be wonderful to have, but I always ask how to get there, and therefore even my personal structure, each individual structures also might be sometimes hindering to get there where we wish we all would be. So there is the question, how much at the beginning, what we talked about, how much are we able to, let's call it work on ourselves, question ourselves, and don't take the past as, oh, I'm a victim, but I can change towards where I would like to go, wherever you would like to go on the next stage or within the stage, even to answer that, to develop yourself within the stage in a positive way, that when it is meant for you to come to the next stage, that you don't take old stories with you, you know? So that is always the thing which I have the feeling have to work daily and reflect and question ourselves.
Yes, and it's again, you know, what I always say, we need to go back, go tidy up our lives, tidy up ourselves, get rid of all these stories, and not in terms of getting rid of them, because they are there, they brought us where we are, they made us to whom we are, but sort of create a new base from which we now start and let new stories happen and now new stories come. And we are in charge, we are responsible for the new stories of our society.
Yes, I do agree. And I also think by answering these questions, we might find a way to heal separation.
I would love to reply again, but I think we need to watch the time.
Yes. Thank you very much, Julia. And I'm looking forward to the next Wisdom Workshop with you.
Me too. Bye.
Bye.